You know what you came here for. Our Royal Rumble series continues. We're covering 1995. Is it the worst one? Let's find out, because we're going to watch. And the wrestling guys start right now. Okay, coming to you from the Forgotten Borough, Staten Island, New York. This is the Wrestling Guys Podcast. This is the fans' perspective on all things in the world of WWE and the world of professional wrestling. We are your hosts. I'm Eric, otherwise known as Fizz. With me, as always, my tag team partner, Chris Never Miss, a.k.a. Chrissy Wrestling. We're continuing our Royal Rumble series. We're still on that road to WrestleMania, going through the Royal Rumble, our favorite pay-per-view of the year. And first things first, we do our virtual clink because we're keeping it safe. We hope you're enjoying yourselves, too. Pull up a drink and join us. Royal Rumble series continuing after our inaugural 1988 edition. Chris, how you feeling about that first episode? How you feeling about that?
Good, man. That was a lot of fun. You know, watching the first ever Royal Rumble. We hope that everybody who listened, watched along, and enjoyed it. Definitely, a lot has changed over the 30 years that the Royal Rumble has been around, and we are going to skip ahead to quite possibly the worst Royal Rumble of all time from 1995, and a lot of history made in this one. And of course, we'll get into all that. Wherever you are listening to us, we hope that you are subscribing.
Absolutely.
Hitting that subscribe button, leaving us a review, some five-star reviews, if you will, please.
It's nothing less than five stars, or I'm coming for you. You don't.
And of course, we hope that everybody's staying safe out there in these continual crazy times that we're living in. But we are here to escape the world and head into the wrestling world, and more specifically, the Royal Rumble, which, as you said, is our favorite event of the year.
Absolutely favorite event of the year. And I like, you know, but before we start, I know we're saying staying safe and everything like that. I do want to acknowledge real quick the Drew McIntyre COVID-19 positive test that they actually acknowledged on TV, WWE. I'm glad that they did it, but it's also 11 months too late. They should have been doing this the entire time and been an honest company and upfront. You know, you see AEW has no problem mentioning it on TV. I get that they're a publicly traded company, but the fact that he's your world champion, maybe there was something positive to come out of this that he could address it head on. But this is something that should have been done ages ago, and disappointed in WWE for waiting that long.
And it raises a lot of questions, too, as to what they do going forward with that. I mean, this is the second time, and I kind of – it's not a funny situation by any means. But I did kind of chuckle at the fact that every time they try to have Goldberg in the main event for a major match, somebody leaves because either they don't want to get they don't want to catch COVID. In Roman Reigns' case, he stepped away from WrestleMania because of his own health issues, and now Drew McIntyre testing positive with COVID. But it seems like the match, as far as I know, is still on, and I guess you know, it's what, four weeks away, something like that. So maybe Drew just fades away, quarantines, and we get the Drew Goldberg match that they advertised.
Well, no. Well, for a couple things. I actually thought the same exact thing about Goldberg. I was like, damn, Goldberg really has the kiss of death right now. First Roman, now Drew. But secondly, I never wanted this match to begin with. But whatever you want to do it, Goldberg puts asses in the seats. I can see why they did it. You know, it's gonna be more of the same spear, miss a spear, claymore kick, pin. I think, but you know,
very quick.
You know, the fact that he has COVID, but he has no symptoms. He's one of the lucky few along with myself. So, you know, 14-day quarantine, hopefully test negative again, and then they could do the match. You know, I'm not trying to speak ill of Bill Goldberg, but it's just like, you know, when he walked out on Legends Night, the first thing I said was, come the fuck on. I knew exactly what they were doing. And, you know, I hope it works out. Maybe it's a better match than we expect. Who knows? Maybe Drew will bring something out of him we've never seen before. But you know, Goldberg is having a string of bad luck here. WrestleMania and now this. It's unfortunate. And you know, like I said before, you know, waiting 11 months to finally acknowledge it on TV is something that, as a publicly traded company, is something that was such a big fan base to wait that long, I think is irresponsible. I think, you know, to have your people front and center speaking about the situation if they ever tested positive, or, you know, frowning upon people for talking about it on Twitter, I think is a load of BS, especially what's going on right now. But, you know, whatever. You know, I digress. I don't want to stand on my soapbox here. That's kind of stupid. Like we said, we're here to get out of here. We're here to get away from that, all that nonsense right there. We're on to Royal Rumble 1995, quite possibly the greatest worst Royal Rumble in history. I don't know if that makes any sense, but Also, the shortest Royal Rumble in history, right? I mean, we looked up the time. You had looked it up. What was it?
So it clocks in at 38 minutes and 41 seconds.
That's unbelievable. 38 minutes. And that's because also it was the first year that they did just 1 minute intervals between guys. So the guys were just coming out at a rapid pace.
Which I think even as we watch it, I think we'll notice that it's not even a minute. Like sometimes it's like 30 seconds and the next guy comes out.
You know what? That's actually a great thing to do. Why don't we time the first few entrants just to see what if it's legitimately a minute? Because, I mean, like, you've seen it in before. I think, though, in the Women's Royal Rumble, especially, like, 2 years ago, it was no 2 minutes. It was like Billie Kay came out one time. It was like 5 minutes later. And it was like, you know, the timing's all over the place. And Pritchard has even said, too, that, you know, they just kind of – it's not legitimately 2-3 minutes. It's legitimately just, like, whenever we feel like we need to come out, it fits the story or of the match or whatever, is when they let the people go. Right. I think another thing that needs to be addressed is the overall lack of star power in this Royal Rumble match. And why did they do a minute? Maybe because there was a bunch of crap in here. I remember, and this is funny because I remember getting this on pay-per-view, watching it with my stepdad in the living room. And I remember when Shawn Michaels and British Bulldogs started it off, I was like, oh, man, it's going to be good. And then it was just one after another of like, ew, this guy? Oh, this guy? What, this guy? And there was no star power at all.
Yeah, there's very little star power, very little like main eventers in this match. And the rest of the card, this is one of the few Royal Rumble pay-per-views where I think the rest of the card is actually better than the Royal Rumble match itself.
The undercard is stacked.
Yeah, the undercard is really good. But of course, what everybody remembers 1995 for is who won. And, you know, the fact that it was the first number one entrant to win the Royal Rumble, and that would be Shawn Michaels. And I think that the reason why the intervals are short as far as when they come out is probably to help Shawn Michaels, because he did, you know, go from bell to bell. And so did British Bulldog. I mean, Bulldog was number two. They both started at the same time. So
they were both one and two. And I think Shawn finished like, what, 2 seconds ahead of Bulldog just because he threw him out after? I mean, like, right. It was, you know, they were both the Iron Men of this match, both over 30 minutes. And I think, yeah, I agree with you. This is the first time you're going to have a number one in the Rumble and win and go from, you know, bell to bell. So it's like, okay, let's do 1 minute intervals to kind of save his stamina, even though Shawn Michaels, you know, arguably the greatest worker in wrestling history, right? But if you look at the star power of this undercard, so you had Jeff Jarrett, Razor Ramon for the Intercontinental title. Jeff Jarrett wins there. Undertaker against IRS, continuing his shitty feud with the Million Dollar Corporation that would carry over into WrestleMania with King Kong Bundy crap. And then Diesel and Bret Hart. Bret Hart and Shawn Michaels brought the best out of Diesel during his title reigns. They gave him great, and this is a nothing but another great match. This is like 27 minutes, I believe. They fought to a draw. All right, and then you had 1-2-3 Kid Bob Holly in the finals of that tag tournament against Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka. They go over as champions, and that sets up the Bigelow versus Lawrence Taylor match at Mania as well. And then you had the match itself. You know, something that seems to, which I never got with this, because you did have in previous years and years after this, wrestlers that were on the undercard also being the Rumble, they were doing double duty, because at the same time, it's like, well, I want that title shot at Mania, right? I mean, I think we famously saw it when the first year of the Women's Royal Rumble, they ran the Men's Royal Rumble match first, and it was in between matches, and Seth Rollins came out in the Men's Royal Rumble match, and then the next match he defended the tag team titles. So he did double duty like that. You know, like guys like Jeff Jarrett, even the Undertaker, IRS, Bret Hart, who lost the match, even like maybe a Tatanka, and if they wanted to throw them in too, to maybe beef up the star power of this match, because this match is sorely lacking of like names.
Yeah, right? It really is.
Another thing I want to point out: why do you think Razor Ramon was never in a Royal Rumble?
You know, it's funny. I have for years have said that Razor Ramon has never been in a Royal Rumble. And one time listening to Bruce Pritchard's podcast, which I do very often, a fan actually asked why Razor Ramon was never in a Rumble. And Bruce Pritchard didn't even realize that. Like he actually did not realize that Razor Ramon never participated in one. And his answer to it was just timing. Like every year, Razor was involved in one of the marquee matches, whether he was defending the IC title, the Royal Rumble 93, he challenged Bret Hart for the WWF title. So he was always in a different type of marquee match and never pulled double duty to be in the Royal Rumble match itself.
That's unbelievable to me that one of your top stars of the 90s was never in a match. And never did ever again. Like something he came back for a one shot, like, you know, Kevin Nash did over the years and stuff like that. But yeah, I mean, he was always in a top match on the undercard, but it was just surprising that, you know, seeing people over the years pull that like double duty and stuff like that. And he never did. And especially this one could have used the star power here, man. And this is incredible. All right. So we're going to look for a couple of things when we're watching this thing. One, who's still alive in this Royal Rumble, as we did the last time. And is it legitimately 1 minute between each person? And if it isn't, which probably isn't, we're going to see how long. So as soon as the match starts, so let's go. We're going to bring up the WWE Network now. We're going to travel over to the 1995 Royal Rumble. So if you go to the beautiful thing about these networks is that you can go over to the tab where it says 95 Royal Rumble. If you hit that, you're at 1 hour, 57 minutes and 12 seconds. And we are going to hit play on a countdown. 3, 2, 1. I'm going to have a little sound to start off with just so we can get the intro, and let's go.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time, may I introduce to you our special guest hostess.
Oh, wow. We got the 70s porno music going on. What's going on?
So here comes Pamela Anderson.
Right, so in addition to winning the Royal Rumble, you got the title shot, and Pamela Anderson was going to walk you down the aisle at WrestleMania 11. And was she, first of all, she looks incredible here. Was there a hotter actress in terms of star power than Pamela Anderson at the time? Baywatch was red hot. She was red hot. Like, to get her was a huge get for WWE.
Yeah, I mean, Pamela Anderson was on another level at this point in 1995 in her career. And I mean, just look at it.
And I know famously they had said that when she first came, she was great. And then in between Royal Rumble and Mania is when she married Tommy Lee, and she kind of just completely
her attitude changed. Yeah. So a little bit of stats here for this one, just as far as where it was. So this took place in Tampa, Florida at the USF Sundome. And there was 10,000 people in attendance. So that's kind of a lot for what's considered the worst Royal Rumble ever.
I mean, you know, this is mid-90s. They're still kind of in that whole gimmick phase. They're still putting asses in the seats for the major pay-per-views, but it's all the other stuff in between where they're losing it, right? I mean, you know, you'll see here the amount of gimmicks in this match, right? So here we go. Let's start off the actual match. I'll bring the sound back in here. And the Pamela Anderson music is very, like, oh, man. If this was done today, forget about it. So here's Shawn Michaels. So Fink's famous announce of "Let's all find out who drew number one," and then they play the music. It's always great, but they kind of jumped the gun there. They played Shawn Michaels' music early. I think this is the first time we actually see the heart. You know, whoever TK is, I don't know. Do we know who find out who the initials for?
I don't know who TK is. The kid, maybe? I don't know.
Maybe. Shout out to whoever TK is. You were loved by Shawn Michaels.
So 1995 is, known as like the worst year overall for WWE, maybe in wrestling period. But I miss this time so much.
And why is that?
It just reminds me of my childhood being, you know, being in my house on Saturday or Sunday watching Superstars and just being still in the mindset of that this was like a real thing and naive to what wrestling really was. And it just brings me back to, you know, all those years ago, which are now, you know, that's all lost in history. But just simpler times and nostalgia, and just really, you know, I missed the 1994, 1995 years of the WWF.
The good old days. Yeah. But I see 94 I love. 95 was not my favorite year in wrestling. I know it was a down period also. But, like, I wasn't a huge fan of Diesel as champion. I loved guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart and stuff. I was a fan of British Bulldog, though, I'm not going to lie. But
Bulldog was one of my favorites. But I was a fan of Diesel, too. I
looked forward to this, to 95. And just being – I remember walking away from this pay-per-view being incredibly disappointed. But, I mean, like, they would really make up for it in the next year. I mean, Shawn Michaels really would gain a lot of steam when once he does the face turn. And then we go into the 96 Rumble, going into WrestleMania 12. And by 96, I mean, they're off and running. I mean, WCW is ahead at this point, but we know what's to come. You know, 96 going into 97, then going into 98. We got to be, oh, and Shawn Michaels right off the bat. Starting the Rumble, starting it. All right, so when do I start this timer here? Do I start as soon as the match starts? I already did it. Rings. All right, so I'm at 1 minute. Well, now we're at 55 seconds. Let's see. Okay, nice body drop, back body drop in the corner. The Shawn Michaels mullet in the 90s, though, incredible.
No one had a mullet like Shawn Michaels.
Absolutely. You know? And you see David Boy Smith, this is back when he had, you know, another run in WCW after another run in WCW left, came back. He was always back and forth over the years. This time switching into the short tights. Ah, famous Michaels bump in the corner, flipping the turnbuckle.
I like the short tights on him, though. I like that look from the Bulldog.
I personally, when he cut his hair and he did the whole...
He looked good then, too. Yeah.
Cornette reboot of the Hart Foundation. All right, so we're at 17 seconds. Oh, 15. Let's see. So this might be a legit minute here. So here's our... No. They jumped the gun. It started at 8, and I was at 10 seconds. So they were 2 seconds short. How dare they? So here's the thing. When do you start the timer now? As soon as they walk out? Right. Another minute?
I would assume here, so. Yeah.
Eli Blue. That's incredible. What an incredible wrestler Eli Blue is. And I'm being...
Ron or Don Harris?
Oh, God. Who even knows? So I started the clock again. This is... it's either Donald or Ronald. One of the two.
Or Chains or Skull. One of them.
Also known as the Bruise Brothers, the Blues Brothers, Skull and 8-Ball, Creative Control, the Grim Twins, the Blue Twins. Like, oh my God. I want to talk about
gimmicks. A lot of gimmicks for them over the years.
But not for nothing. Like, in this iteration of them, they looked humongous. They looked really big. They had the big hair, the beard. They looked kind of physically imposing. When they became Skull and 8-Ball with DOA, they did not look like this. It's almost like they shrank. You know? Maybe they were on the... Who knows?
Well, maybe it's because cutting all that hair off, too, probably helped them.
Okay, I'm at 10 seconds. Oh, we're already. So they just jumped the gun. They're 4 seconds ahead of me. I think they're not even starting at 10. They started at 8, and then they started at 6. Here comes Dumpster Drosy. My man. Here, you signed with WWE. Fantastic. We're going to make you a garbage man. Okay.
What do you think is the worst gimmick of 95? I mean, this is when they were doing, like, the occupational gimmicks. We had the garbage man, the plumber.
TL Hopper, baby. Toilet lid Hopper.
Yeah, the dentist and Isaac Yankum.
Isaac Yankum, Duke Drosy, Abe Knuckleball Schwartz. He was the baseball player.
The goon,
who was the hockey player. Yeah, like whoever was in charge of creative at the time was like, yeah, we're going to do a bunch of occupational gimmicks. And Vince was like, that's good shit. Like, no. Like, who thought that was, like, that was incredible. I mean, this is peak... terrible creative and at 95. Oh, 10. Okay, so I was a second ahead and now they're at 10 seconds. So right now it's more or less a minute right now. Yeah. I will give them that. Here comes
Jimmy Del Rey.
Oh, he has passed on. Rest in peace. Yeah.
This year, I think, right? He probably last year.
I used to love when you do the wiggle in the ring towards the ladies in the crowd. Way to go. The Heavenly Bodies, another thing where Smoky Mountain Wrestling, they had to deal with WWE coming in, and they never really took flight. I remember famously in the Survivor Series, they won the Smoky Mountain tag titles from the Rock and Roll Express, and I remember watching that and just them not being – the crowd just not in the match at all.
It was nobody really cared.
It was very old-school Southern wrestling, and they just didn't care at all. So right now you have two really known names and two halves of tag teams and a garbage man. So, yeah, that's where we're at right now in the Royal Rumble in our first five. All right, here's 10 seconds, and I was at – okay, we were a second apart on our time. So, you know what? So far, so good. I'll give him that. Whoever's timing this Rumble, bravo. who is this now? Oh, we got Sione, half of the head shrinkers.
A.K.A. the Barbarian.
Yeah. So another half of yet another tag team. So you have three representatives of tag teams here, two legit singles wrestlers, three, I guess, if you want to count Duke the Dumpster Drosy. I do remember him coming back for the gimmick battle royal at WrestleMania, and he had shaved his head.
Yeah, he did. I remember that. Oh, there goes Jimmy Del Rey.
The jig is gone. Back to go please the women of, you know, the Coliseum. How you doing? That's our first elimination of the match.
It is.
Jimmy Del Rey only lasted a minute 25. Am I correct by saying that?
You might be right. He didn't last long at all.
Times here, not long. Oh, okay. They're jumping the gun here. They're jumping the gun. I had 12 seconds left. They started at 10. I don't appreciate this. Here we go. Next, our entrant, number 7. Oh, speaking of which, the Dr. Tom Pritchard, his partner just got eliminated, so the other half of the Heavenly Body is now being represented, and that's god-awful that they didn't wait for his partner to come in so they could do some, like, double-team moves or something. All right, look at Cioni. Just body-pressing Shawn Michaels. Will he get him over the top? Absolutely not.
Shawn Michaels. You just let him down there.
Yeah, he was just like, I'm going to let you down. You're heavy. And then Shawn Michaels like, thanks. Oh, the famous rope burn when you drag their face across. Is there anything worse than that or the Hulk Hogan back scratches? So that's what we need to know. Where are you guys at Wrestling Guys PC? Back scratches or rope burn? Face burn on the ring.
That rope rub, that's a devastating move.
Yeah, you know, all that, you know, irritation. All right, here's another 10 seconds. Actually, I am right along with the count right now. So this is on the money.
Okay.
3, 2, 1. This is legitimate. Doink and Dink. This is not the Matt Bourne Doink the Clown, I believe. This is the next iteration. This is when Doink did the face turn, which, again, another gimmick, a clown as a wrestler. I personally love the Matt Bourne one.
The heel Doink was great.
It was absolutely great, and it was terrifying. I loved the music. I loved just what he brought to it, you know, that menacing scowl that he used to do, and then they decided to go face because it was like, who doesn't love a clown? At the same time, who's afraid of a clown? Everybody. So
yeah, a lot of people are.
It was a shame that they did that. And then, you know, it was not too long after this that he was pretty much gone. You know, Dink, a.k.a. Tiger Jackson, the midget wrestler or a little person wrestler. Forgive me. Oh, Shawn Michaels is going hardcore with the rope burns here. Now he's choking Duke DeJonsadrosi.
You know, Dink,
10 seconds.
10 seconds.
Oh, same thing. Our timing is me and this time guy. You know what? You want to hire me? Call me. Eric Feliciano. How you doing? All right. 2, 1. We're in there. Oh, Quang is still around in 1995. Wow. That's amazing.
Savio Vega.
Made his debut in the 94 Rumble. Really didn't do much, but then he's here for the 95 Rumble. It's Savio Vega, too. A Puerto Rican wrestler that they're like, hey, we're going to put you in a mask and call you Quang. Mm-hmm. You know, that's great. Just like when they put Rikishi in a mask and call him the Sultan. Like, you know, like, come on, guys. What are we doing here?
I'd really like to know, like who thought making Duke the Dumpster Drossi a garbage man was like, yeah, this guy will main event WrestleMania. Like,
right. I can see what world champion one day.
Yeah. I mean, do they really think that these gimmicks will work when they hand them out?
I mean, I think at the same time, too, you need talent, right? You need to fill out your roster and you figure like, okay, listen, he's not going to main event WrestleMania, but maybe he could put some asses in the seats. He can get the kids here. He could sell some T-shirts. Maybe he could have some good mid-card feuds. And then somebody was like, well, he's a garbage man. What is it?
Another countdown. 5 seconds.
I am 2 seconds off from the countdown. Me and him have lost touch now. We're not friends anymore. Here we go. Who's the next one? Rick the Model Martel, one of the unsung heroes of the 80s and the 90s. I'm a personal big fan of Rick the Model Martel. He is long overdue for the Hall of Fame.
Still around in 95.
Yeah, he's still there. And then he makes a little run in Canada for a while. He was going to come back during the Attitude Era with Don Callis as part of a tag team called the Supermodels. And at the last minute, Martel took the money and went to WCW, where he had a TV title run and a little mini feud with Booker T. And then Don Callis went to WWE as the Jackal for the Truth Commission. So a little background info there. Personally, I love Rick Martel. I think he's a fantastic wrestler. I think he was one of the unsung heroes. A decent match that you want to see. Shawn Michaels, Rick Martel, SummerSlam 92. They agreed not to hit each other in the face.
Which is yes, it's a good gimmick.
Here we go. So my timing, again, we're back on. Me and this guy is in sync. If it's Pritchard, yeah, listen, call me. We could do stuff. Let's do business.
It's Shawn hanging on there.
There you go. Here's another known name here. So we have two decent ones coming, back-to-back picks. Owen Hart, rest in peace.
Owen's about to get attacked, though, by Brett here.
Yeah, because
there it is.
Owen did interfere in the world title match, if I'm mistaken, right?
Yeah, he did. So did Shawn Michaels, and so did Bob Backlund.
Mm-hmm.
So now Brett beating
so
up.
So Brett bringing out and beating up on Owen is pretty cool. I like how they set this up here. But, you know, Owen being in the Rumble is huge because now you have at least some halfway decent name talent in the Rumble. You know, if Owen wins and goes against Diesel, there's Brett, you know, the interference with Brett. There is some type of story there. Bret Hart, really laying his shit in there, huh? And also, this is a year removed from the kick your leg out of your leg speech.
Which is the funniest, one of the funniest things ever.
It's fantastic.
And we got another countdown already.
Yep, I'm at
2 seconds now.
Yep, I'm in.
And who's somebody's trying to come through? Oh, is that Stephen Dunn?
That is Timothy Well.
Timothy Well, there we go.
One half of Well Done, and yet another half of the tag team.
And there goes Duke Josey, and he just killed the referee on his way down.
Did he really? Oh, yes, I did. I just saw that. My thing lagged a bit. I'm back in. Timothy Well's in there. I guess they really took him out to the trash. See what I did there? Oh, poor, is that Earl Hebner? Poor guy.
And Timothy Well just got eliminated, and there goes Rick Martel.
Wow. Oh, thank you, Rick Martel. And there's the Dr. Tom, Shawn Michaels, House of Fire. So Timothy Well only lasted 23 seconds. Owen Hart is gone as well. Owen Hart apparently lasted 3 seconds in this Rumble, eliminated by the British Bulldog.
I didn't even see him get eliminated.
That occurred off camera. So you had a well-known name in Owen Hart, and immediately, I mean, it does make sense. Bret Hart beat him up, and then he eliminated him. And there's the point by Quang.
And here comes, let's see how long he lasts.
Bushwhacker Luke.
And there goes
Ioni and Jacob Blue, or Eli Blue? Is Eli
one of them?
One of the Blues. Oh,
Bushwhacker Luke, he's lasting longer than I thought.
So let's talk about how the fact that there is 1, 2, 3, 4. There he is. 12 seconds. He's out.
So Shawn Michaels and Bulldog are the only two in the ring right now, but there's still more to come.
So in the first 14 entries, there are 7 halves of representatives from tag teams. Mm-hmm. The rest are legitimate singles wrestlers. I mean, that says a lot about the quality of this Royal Rumble. And this is not to demean anybody that's in the Rumble, like Tom Pritchard or Savio Vega. It's the fact of the gimmicks. They were heavy, heavy gimmicks that weren't working. You had quality guys that were in the undercard, and why not just throw them in here to give some more name power to the Royal Rumble? Make Shawn Michaels win a little bit more legitimate by going over quality wrestlers. Like, here's Jacob Blue again. So now the Blues Brothers have been in this Royal Rumble match.
Oh, he just leveled Shawn Michaels that close.
Really did. Again, you know, Owen Hart and Rick Martel did not last much longer. It would have been nice to maybe have the four of them kind of slug it out.
Missed the spot there, because now there goes Jacob Blue.
Oh, there it is. Jacob Blue, 17 seconds. Wow. That's unbelievable. And we're back to the first two in the Rumble. I mean, these guys, they must have been dead tired by the end of this. I mean, first time people going like that. I mean, we've had Iron Man in the past, right? I mean, it's not like nothing foreign. And Shawn Michaels has famously done the Iron Man spot, I think, previously to this. But, you know, this is something else right here.
So we have another countdown.
Here's another countdown here. We're at 3, 2, 1, and our next person will be King Kong Bundy. Wow.
Now, here you can say here's some star power coming down in King Kong Bundy, but at this point...
Main event at WrestleMania, coming back, that's true. But at this point, with the Million Dollar Corporation, he was not the guy that we saw main eventing against Hogan.
Yeah. So here's a double feature. They're showing when Owen Hart was eliminated here.
And so the camera never caught Owen Hart actually being eliminated, so they're showing it now. And he went in and immediately got backdropped over the ropes by British Bulldog. Excuse me, Owen Hart can't eliminate himself. The hell am I saying? King Kong Bundy, who would go on to face... I mean, damn, the quality of Undertaker's opponents in the first few WrestleManias is god-awful. You know? King Kong Bundy, has he passed on? That's a question.
I think he did die.
He did. You're right.
So far, I think there's two deceased.
He passed away in 2019.
Three deceased wrestlers, Owen Hart, King Kong
Bundy. Del Rey, Owen Hart, and King Kong Bundy.
And comes Sir Mo, Men on a Mission Mo, and he's gone already.
Oh, my God. And yet another half of a tag team.
I don't think he lasted a second.
He was, according to the official time, it's 3 seconds, but I highly doubt it.
No, that wasn't 3 seconds.
That should have been the fastest elimination at that point, because that's ridiculous. I mean, King Kong Bundy, if you ever watched his matches in the 80s, like, you know, I've seen actually, you know, a bunch, and he used to move very agile around the ring. At this point, like, he's just very plodding, very slow. You could just tell, like, he's not in it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and Bruce Pritchard recently did a whole episode about King Kong Bundy, and just said that at this time he basically was there to make a paycheck. Like, he stopped really caring. Mm-hmm. Now he got 5 seconds. He has Bulldog is...
teetering. He's teetering over the top. And Shawn Michaels taking a break. Who's this one?
Mabel. Here comes Mabel.
Rest in peace, Nelson Frazier. Another one who has passed away, passed on. But again, another tag team. You know, like this is incredible, the amount of tag team wrestlers that are in it. And like, if you're a person sitting in the crowd at this point, and you've seen all these tag team wrestlers come in, do you think they legitimately have a shot? You know what I mean? Like, if you're a fan and you're a little smartened up and stuff like that, are you going to be like, wow, Mabel's going to come and win the Royal Rumble? Like, absolutely not. Jimmy, Jacob Blue, Eli Blue, like, come on, Jimmy Del Rey's not going to win this. And you know that, you know? I mean, listen, at this point, what were we? We were about 12, going to be 13 years old maybe at this time. And, you know, even us at this time, yeah, we were kids and everything like that, but we could kind of, the writing was on the wall here. Like, right? I mean, if you look at it now, it's like, it's either going to be Shawn Michaels or Bulldog, because the people that they're throwing out after them is just not, makes no sense. You know? Right. I mean, the random tag team guy here and there, okay, I see it, but like at this point, we're 17 people in, and
Bundy's almost out.
And here's the other half of the push. This is incredible, man. Oh my God.
This Royal Rumble might also set a record for how many tag team wrestlers are in this match.
Has to be.
I don't expect Butch lasting long here. There goes Bundy. He's out.
I like how he lifted his legs at the last minute. Is that a sign of things? Maybe Shawn Michaels stole that idea from him at the end.
King Kong Bundy.
He lifted him and then planted him down the field like, yep, I got it. And okay, here he goes. This is embarrassing. Like, why put him in the Rumble if they're going to – 19 seconds Butch lasted. King Kong Bundy, 3 minutes. King Kong Bundy, a legitimate physical force that they let last 3 minutes. Okay, fine. You want to put Mabel over? Great. But come on.
I think Sean has spent half of this match just hanging upside down on the ropes.
But you know what? At least he makes it exciting. He's grabbing onto the turnbuckle. His legs are dangling. His hair's swinging. Like, he makes it exciting. Like, even Bulldog, I like that he's trying to hit his hands to get, like, it makes sense, you know? Some of these eliminations when they attempt makes no sense.
Oh, here comes Lex Luger. Okay.
So Lex Luger, 2 years removed from the Lex Express fiasco.
The Allied Powers, Lex Luger and British Bulldog. So that's a tag team.
You're absolutely right. That's another tag team. And there goes Mabel, lasted a minute and 58 seconds. That's incredible. Incredible. But at least right now you have three legitimate, credible threats in the Royal Rumble, right? Here we go. Press slam. You're going to press him over the ropes? No, why would you? You're just going to slam him on the mat. Does that even make sense? Okay. All right. When did you think, I mean, at this point, right, you figure, okay, the Lex Express thing didn't work. They didn't want to put the title on him. Why not just drop the whole All-American gimmick at this point? It wasn't working. They knew it was Hulk Hogan-like. They didn't want it. So why not just change it up? I mean, he could still be a face and not have to wear the stars and stripes every time, you know?
I think they were just hopeful that it would click at some point, I think.
Yeah, just, you know, when he went back to WCW, he wasn't missed by me, I'll tell you that much. Oh, my God, here we go.
Yeah.
Number 20 is Mantar, a.k.a. the human shitball.
Mantar, look at this guy.
Who the hell is Mantar is even a better question, right?
His gimmick was that he was literally not a bison, but a minotaur.
Oh, God.
Like, that's what his gimmick was supposed to be. My girlfriend Tara is here shaking her head at the ridiculousness of it.
So you should tell her it was even worse when he used to come out with the minotaur head on his thing. And he used to, like, charge at the people, and then he used to, like, moo at them and everything like that. That is god-awful. Yeah.
Tara, he did used to moo at his opponents in the ring.
What?
He mooed at them.
Oh, my God. I would walk out.
But you know what the thing is, too? Like, he is quite round. I don't want to say he's a fat guy because I would never make fun of him, but
he's
why are we going to put him in a brown singlet? He literally looks like a walking piece of shit.
And here comes the Portuguese man of war, Aldo Montoya,
a.k.a. Just Incredible, a.k.a. let's put a jockstrap on his face and give him a mask. And this is another failed gimmick of the 90s. But you know what, though? At this point, there are six legit singles wrestlers in here. I mean, yes, the Allied Powers were a tag team, but at least, listen, Aldo Montoya and Mantar aren't winning this thing, but at least there's, like, credibility here. Like, how many times are we going to see another half of a tag team at this point? I mean, this is ridiculous.
I'm sure there's – what number are we at here? 21?
Aldo Montoya was number 21.
21.
If Avatar comes out, a.k.a. Al Snow, you know, we've really taken the cake here.
Let's see how many more tag team wrestlers come out in this match.
You know, that's the thing, too. Here's my dream. I'm going to be in WWE. Listen, we want to put this mask on you. We want to call you the Portuguese Man of War, Aldo Montoya. And you're like, you know what? I can make this work. And, you know, come on.
Hindsight being 2020, not a good
idea. Mantar might be the worst gimmick of the 90s.
Yeah, I think without question.
I think it might be worse than Duke the Dumpster Drossy. Oh, Henry Scott. At the time, not in a tag team yet.
At the time, a singles wrestler.
Right. All right. Just a hulking brute of a man here.
And I think a heel at this time.
Yes, he is. This is, I think, when he around with the time that he first debuted, Mr. Mark Canterbury there. Coming in at number 22. Okay, so far we haven't had any eliminations since the fiasco in the middle where everyone lasted about less than 30 seconds. I think in that little run, King Kong Bundy lasted the longest in his 3-minute mark, which is
longest is 3 minutes. That's crazy.
That's pretty incredible at this point. But this is my favorite part of the Rumble here. When the ring starts filling up, you got some guys in here. Could be anybody. Oh, there's a shot of Pamela Anderson watching. Who's going to be the potential winner? And she's thinking to herself, I hope it's not Mantar.
And I just want to point out that she's a big part of this. The winner is going to be escorted by her into the main event of WrestleMania. And they're at number 23 coming out right now. And that was the first time that they've shown her actually watching the match.
And here's Billy Gunn. My God, another half of a tag team. Billy Gunn's mullet, though, is rocking. Give him that.
He literally slid inside the one end of the ring and went all the way to the other.
Because he's so oiled up. He literally is just a giant slip and slide. He's a human slip and slide at this point. You're absolutely right, right? They waited until 23 to show Pamela Anderson this time. Like, you know, they should cutting back and forth to her, not every 5 minutes, but maybe every couple of wrestlers at this point, watching her watch the action, being interested. Whoever was directing at this point, right? I mean, that's where you got to go. That's your bread and butter. I loved how Lex Luger looked like he was just about to hit British Bulldog, and he stopped, and he looked at them, and they both just rested on the ropes, took a breath, and walked away from each other. Lex Luger, people, at his finest.
Really, no. It's so different here. Like he looks a lot better now than he did here in 95.
And who is this?
Who's this coming out? Is that Bart?
Oh, my God.
Bart Gunn now.
This is legitimately upsetting me now. Like, how many tag teams are you going to get at this point? Bart Gunn, also, good mullet. Way to go. Didn't slide as far in the ring as Billy, so Billy has that up, in the sibling rivalry. Bart Gunn, too. One half of the Smoking Guns. Who would the next night beat 1-2-3 Kid and Marty Jannetty for the tag team titles? So they, at the time, would be the shortest tag team reign in history. They got that to look forward to. But in the meantime, one of them may have a chance at the WWE Championship at WrestleMania 11. The hell out of here. Stop it.
So yeah, I mean, if you watch this, there's really only three guys that you could pick of right now who would win. It would be Luger, Bulldog, and Michael.
Okay, let me tell you right now, if this 1995 Royal Rumble was the 2021 Royal Rumble, we'd be like, get the fuck out of here.
Oh, they'd be lucky that there's no fans in the stands, because this would be booed beyond belief.
Oh, absolutely. It'd be shit.
Is this Bob Backlund?
Yes, Bob Backlund, who did have a world title run at the end of the year in November, beating Bret Hart in the submission match, right? Or the I Quit match? Throwing the towel.
I think he's going to get attacked here also. Here comes
Bret Hart. Bret Hart, I think, is going to come out and attack him as well. And you know what? He is a former world champion a few months ago. So, you know, okay, him trying to go for the title again makes sense. Interfering and Bret Hart messing him up. Again, I do like the fact that Bret Hart came out and got revenge on every person that interfered in that match, more or less, that cost him the title, which is great. And this would set up their WrestleMania match. That was an I Quit match. Piper, special guest referee.
It's definitely a good point of time in Bob Backlund's career to be able to come back in his 40s and go turn heel, which is what he's probably most remembered for, and have that run against Bret Hart.
Oh, man, wait, hold on. I don't mean to cut you off, but stop the presses. Stephen Dunn is number 26 and walking in. All right. Manthong is fully on. All right. He's really cooking on the grill. See what I did there? Well done. All right. So I'm just, again, another half of a tag team. It's at this point. Okay, you know what? You want to bring in some tag team wrestlers in the beginning of the Rumble? Absolutely. He came in at number 26. That sucks.
Luke is setting up and Bob Backlund is eliminated.
Oh, my God, Luke. I wish we could do an instant replay here. Did you see how bad that elimination was? First of all, Lex Luger half-assed ran across the ring, half-assed stuck his arm out for a clothesline, barely touched Backlund, and pushed him over the top rope. That's pathetic. Like, Luger, come on, man. And you wonder why they didn't want to put the steam behind him. He was never fully there, man. He was never fully vested in his character or his work there. And it's terrible that they put the rocket ship to his ass and nothing ever came to it. But at the same time, it wasn't deserved, man. Look at that elimination alone sums up Lex Luger's run in WWE. Half-assed. Like, that's terrible. I just went on Luger, man. You know, hope everything's going well with you. But seriously, all right, here's the next entrant. Man, Backlund. And then you have, oh, here we go. We're going old school here. Dick Murdoch. But how many people in that crowd legitimately know who Dick Murdoch is, though? Let's be honest.
Yeah, not many there would. Now, this is a surprise entrant, I think, for this Rumble.
So I failed to realize to tell you that Timothy Well and Stephen Dunn have both passed away. So they are both deceased as well. Okay. Dick, wow. Yeah, and Dick Murdoch would actually pass away in June of 1996. So he's also no longer with us as well.
Almost a year later. Here's another look at Bob Backlund's elimination.
Look at the half-ass. He didn't do a clothesline as much as he grabbed him by the back of the neck and told Backlund, listen, you need to jump over the top rope.
Yeah.
Like, that's god-awful, man. Come on. Do better. Be better. Shawn Michaels, still in there. Dick Murdoch, so a famous, you know, Texas wrestling, him and Dusty Rhodes as the Texas Outlaws. But at this point in his career, he's at the tail end of his career. You know, I think it was just a nice little thing to put him in. But
Adam Bomb.
That was it. Adam Bomb. Let's go. Brian Clark.
Right. Now, Adam Bomb was, you know, whatever. But I liked his Wrath gimmick in WCW.
I liked Wrath. I liked when he was with Chronic in WCW.
Yeah, that was
fun. WWE. But you know what the funny thing is? He had the look, man. Like, he had the size. He had the build. He had the swinging hair here. It just, again, saddled with a gimmick called Adam Bomb from 3 Mile Island. It's like, come on. You know, what are we doing here at this point? You know, that a guy like that, you could have really done something with. Maybe have a legitimate feud with Diesel if you could have built him up credible. But instead, you slapped him with Adam Bomb. You know, like, that again, he's a byproduct of the last of the gimmick 90s. But we do have, at this point, 2, 4, 6. So we do have like 10 people in the ring, which is nice. And we're coming out with number 29. And, oh, my God, it's Fatu. No disrespect to Rikishi, but at this point, he is one half of the Head Shrinkers, and he's coming out as number 29. Now, at this point, right, and your later half of the Royal Rumble, guys who are coming in 27, 28, 29, you want it to be legit singles wrestlers, like, oh, my God, they're well-rested. They're coming in at this number, and you have one half of the Head Shrinkers. That sucks. I'd like to just... Like, come on. Like, you know, like, it's not even funny anymore. The amount of tag teams they threw in this Rumble because they had nothing else. And meanwhile, guys like Tatanka, Bam Bam Bigelow, Iris, there goes Mantar down the toilet where he belongs. Mantar, for the record, did last 9 minutes and 33 seconds.
So considering in this Rumble, that was a long time.
Yeah. Did we also count British Bulldog is no longer among the living.
Yeah, actually, we didn't count that. So, yeah, he is also.
That is very, very unfortunate, too. Another guy who had gone too soon, man. Great, great worker. And, oh, wow, speaking to the devil, Brian Adams, a.k.a. Crush, also no longer with us, coming into the ring at number 30. So, at this point, him and Luger have had a longstanding feud. The Smoking Guns are fighting each other for no reason, and they both got eliminated by Crush. So you're in a tag team, you're in a Royal Rumble with multiple wrestlers. Why not tag team together, eliminate everybody, and then go after each other? But no, we're going to fight. Oh, and there goes Stephen Dunn. Stephen Dunn, for the record, 4 minutes, 29 seconds. Billy Gunn, 7 minutes, 25 seconds. Bart Gunn, 6 minutes, 19 seconds. So, yes, they were stupidly fighting each other with a ring full of wrestlers, and Crush came in, awesome, at the top. Unbelievable here, man. That's something else.
And there's another shot of Pam Anderson.
And then she points to she tells the camera to point at the ring. Like, get the camera out of my face and go to the ring. All right, you know. Brian Adams, another one. A lot of opportunities because of who he was friends with. More famous, The Undertaker. He's part of that whole BSK crew. But another one, you want to talk about wasted opportunities, man. He had the size. He had the look. You know, they threw him in Demolition as the third member. That didn't really work out. He came back as the Kona Crush. Then he went heel, you know, him and Yoko as a tag for a little bit. You know, then he came back as the Jailbird and then DOA, like just multiple gimmick, like over and over and over again. Just nothing ever panned out for him.
Multiple gimmicks, but all the same name. Always Crush.
Always Crush. Never something else. Which, okay, fine. You know, when you're coming back as I love Hawaii Crush, and then now I'm a heel Crush, and then now I've been in prison for drug Crush, and then Clarence Mason gets me into the WWE, and now I'm part of a motorcycle gang Crush. You know, like, you're crazy. Unfortunate that he left us too soon, but again, just again, wasted talent. He's somebody who I feel like could have served with a mouthpiece, because he was never that great on the mic either.
No, that's true.
You know, I know they tried to put him with you know, Cornette and Fuji.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji.
Yoko thing, but it just, that was very short-lived as well. But at this point here, in terms of legitimacy, Michaels, Bulldog, Crush, and Luger. That's it. And the rest of them, you know, Dick Murdoch is not going to win this and go against Diesel or Mania. That's no. Batu is not. Godwin's not. The Pig Farmer, talk about gimmicks from 95. And then the guy who, you know, has a face mask, Aldo Montoya crap. You know, that's not happening either. Like, you know, at this point, you have four legitimate people. That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, it's, again, hindsight being 2020, when you look back at this, it's not, there's not many choices to go here on. It's not like you're watching it like, I don't know who's going to win.
You know, and legitimately, like, I know they've covered this in other podcasts, you know, Pritchard's and whoever's, and I really would like to go back and actually listen to the thought process as to why they didn't do, oh, look at the Dick Burdock, JYD headbutts, to Fatu, who's a Samoan, whose head doesn't affect. Oh, there. See, I like how you sold it. Fatu gets up. That's not hitting me. That's not hurting me. Not Murdoch. You know what? That was a nice little spot there. I'll give him that. That was a good moment there. But I would love to get the thought process behind the fact that they had no star power in this Rumble outside of a few wrestlers and the few single. Oh, there goes Adam Bomb.
There goes Adam Bomb.
Adam Bomb, 5 minutes, 20 seconds. Crush is racking up the eliminations here.
Future tag team. Crush, Adam Bomb, Chronic.
Oh, look at that. Chronic, yeah. Who were famously asked to get sent down to developmental, and they said, screw you.
Yep, they're out of here. And I think, he held on, though.
To think in a few years he'd be wearing a thong and rubbing his ass in people's faces.
And there goes Aldo Montoya.
Aldo Montoya is gone. Way to go. 13 minutes and 21 seconds so far.
And Lex Luger just saved Shawn Michaels there.
Which makes no sense. Again, see, like you know, and I get it, man. 30 people, it's really, really hard to, like, eliminate, you know, like, plan out a whole Royal Rumble in the eliminations. But it, I would tell people, listen, if you're going to do something like that, make it make sense. Like, instead of saving Shawn Michaels, try to throw Dick Murdoch out. And because you try to throw him out, Shawn Michaels ends up escaping. And there goes Fatu. Fatu also by Crush. Crush, 5 minutes and 32 seconds for Fatu. Crush has eliminated, I think he eliminates five people when it's all said and
done. Is he the Diesel of this match then?
I don't believe so. I think actually Michaels is. I think Michaels ends up eliminating eight people. Dick Murdoch with the drop kick. Look at that. You still got it. Way to go. But yeah, it looks like Michaels with eight eliminations is the actual Diesel of this particular thing.
Doing an airplane spin.
The airplane spin. Let's take it back in the day. And Michaels is like, please stop. Oh, Michaels, yes. Michaels fed right into that. And Henry Godwin pulls himself up. He goes over the top with Murdoch. Murdoch gets eliminated. Godwin holds onto the rope. Somehow keeps his feet up for a big guy like that. So way to go. And I love how Michaels fed into that airplane spin. So
yeah, that was pretty funny. That was good. Final five here.
So Dick Murdoch, 5 minutes, 8 seconds. Our final five is Henry Godwin, which, I mean, get the fuck out of here. Stop it. Lex Luger, British Bulldog, Crush, and Michaels. Michaels running across the ring with a house of fire, and Luger is like, please stop. I don't want to get hit. Listen, I kid. I'm glad what Luger has, you know, the strides he's made in his career. But at this point in his wrestling career, he was just not good, man.
And the year prior, 94, he was actually the co-winner.
Right, exactly. Him and Hart, which I always thought that Hart should have just won himself, but you know, they still had that hope for Lex to get over. And unbelievable. The fact that, you know, just the laziness. Look how, you know, nonchalantly he puts his foot up for the boot. Like, just everything to him is just, his nickname should have been half-assed. Half-assed Luger. Like, it's unbelievable. I think we need to do a profile on him for a show. Absolutely. I think there's Godwin.
Godwin's gone.
Okay, Luger, I take it back. Way to eliminate Godwin there. Godwin at this point, one of the longest, 14 minutes and 40 seconds.
Wow.
And here's our final four, who, I mean, it makes the most sense to have this final four, Crush, Luger, Michaels, and British Bulldog. Bulldog and Michaels started, they were the first two, and they're one of the final four. I mean, come on, like, if this was going to be, like, as if this was going to be, like, Stephen Dunn, Dick Murdoch, Adam Baum, and Fats, you know what I mean? Like, come on. Like, you know, that, like, it had to have made sense. Why not just load up the back half of the Rumble with the people like Martel, Owen Hart, Bob Backlund? You know, that would have made more sense than, you know, the smoking guns as 23 and 24. I mean, this is, it's just, come on. Make it believable.
This is clearly designed for, you know, Shawn Michaels being the eventual winner and coming in at number one.
Yeah. I will say, though, the ending of the 95 Royal Rumble was one of my favorite. The match is all I don't like, but the ending is, I think, is incredible. I remember watching it on pay-per-view, and we'll see in just a few minutes. Just, yeah, like, me thinking, like, oh, damn, British Bulldog actually won, and then boom, you know. And it is a great sequence. It's a great setup, and they did a hell of a job with the camera
angles. There goes Luger.
Luger is out by Crush. Lex Luger.
I think Sean hit him from behind.
Oh, did he really?
Yeah.
I didn't see that. 18 minutes, 51 seconds. Shawn Michaels now doing the heel thing of saying, hey, Crush, let's team up and take out Bulldog. Let's team up, just you and me. Doing the heel, you know. And let's see. Either Crush is going to turn on him or Michaels is going to wait and throw him over the top. What are we going to do here? Michaels is just a ball of sweat at this point. His hair is matted to his head. Bulldog, too. They can't take nothing away from Bulldog. He just as long as this match, too. He's doing an incredible job. A lot of stomping here. You know, I wish they would bring up the traditional purple aprons and the flag. I would love that, the purple and the gold.
Yeah, I do like that logo. I also like that old school Royal Rumble music.
Yeah.
That's classic.
Some of my favorite.
Oh, there's Crush.
There it is. Oh, Gorilla Press. Is you going to come over the top like a smart man?
No, of course not.
No, because I'm going to pander to the crowd. Right. And, oh, the eye.
Right in the eyes.
That makes sense. See, oh, I like the sequence here. Michaels ducks.
And crushes out.
Bulldog closes lines. Crush. Crush is 8 minutes and 51 seconds. And now our first two are
the last two. And now this is the first time I think the crowd can be seen actually cheering, coming to their feet.
Yeah, because, I mean, yeah, you do have people at their feet clapping. Let's get a little sound here. Let's see what happens. The crowd is actually like, oh, thank God that the Well Done and Smoking Guns weren't the final four. So I think we should let's let the sound pay out for the duration of this little last sequence of the final two here. But Shawn Michaels is just great. Look how he just effortlessly just going that top turnbuckle. The way he sells the kicks from Bulldog, how high he jumps in the air for that, you know. This is great. I like this here. Gorilla Press almost out. Oh, but he straddles. That's perfect. It made sense. He was backing up. He just got just enough, which was great. You actually just saw Michaels block out orders to Bulldog. If you saw that, I don't know. Michaels with 1 foot hanging. Bulldog is celebrating prematurely, but the crowd knows. The crowd knows. If you notice, the crowd isn't cheering, but then they play.
And they play music. Yeah. Because
they're still screaming like Michaels is in danger, and they have the camera solely on British Bulldog. It's incredible. He's celebrating. And then here's Michaels, and he throws him over the top, and you don't know until they replay it what happened. This is awesome. This is an awesome sequence here, because even Mr. Grant says, well, no, what happened?
Yeah, this is an iconic moment that still every year at the Rumble gets shown. When they do their little highlight video package of past Rumbles, they always show this moment. And this is the best part of this match right here, was this little sequence.
Because I remember sitting at home and saying, what the hell is going on? How did he – I thought he was eliminated. They played the music. He was done. And then he just came in. And then I remember my stepfather saying, oh, they must have made a mistake. They must have made a mistake. And I was like, no, I don't think so. I think it just – this was part of the match. I like this. Vince McMahon says, wait, we have a replay. I mean, if this doesn't tell you how – like the greatness of Shawn Michaels to pull it off. Here we go. Here's the replay here. So Michaels – it has one arm hooked on the top rope already, right? So when he flips over, he's holding on with one hand the top rope. The other hand's on the middle rope,
There's one only foot.
1 foot touches, and he's swinging the foot back and forth. That second foot almost hits. That's
it
incredible.
Does. It came incredible. Close.
Then swinging again, and Tim White's there the whole time watching, and he pulls himself up, and they both say no. And then he drops the feet again. And then, look, Tim White says again, 1 foot, 1 foot. Hebner, 1 foot. And they're waving it off. That was incredible. That's an incredible ending sequence. Probably one of the best. It might be in the top three. The match itself sucks. The ending, incredible. And then, you know, Pamela Anderson in with Shawn Michaels. Let me mute that here for now because now he's just going to pose. I want to point out Pamela Anderson's face as Shawn Michaels is posing. He goes to pose in front of her. And look
yeah, she's laughing at him.
Like, hey, you fucking jerk.
And actually, he would...
Look at that face she made. She just rolled her eyes. And I don't know who TK is. He just kissed it.
And he's trying to dance with her here. And she's like, nah, no thanks.
And I'm not interested. You're too sweaty for me. And look, she runs out of the ring.
And actually, at WrestleMania 11, where it would be Shawn Michaels and Diesel, she came out with Diesel.
Right, and he came out with Jenny McCarthy instead.
Right, yeah.
I think there was some issues because, like we said, at the time she was married to Tommy Lee, and there might have been like a problem or whatever. And then she ended up coming out with Diesel instead. And she's out the ring and walking down the ramp. Oh, Pat Patterson, rest in peace.
Pat Patterson, rest in peace. Yeah.
You know.
So there you have it.
Wow. And Pam Anderson could not wait to get out of there. She posed with him. He tried to dance with her. She wasn't having it, and she walks right back out.
So there you have it. 1995 Royal Rumble, the winner, Shawn Michaels.
Unbelievable on how good the ending of that match is and how bad the match is up until that point. It's so bad.
And it's just like we kept saying throughout the match, it's just the people that were in it. And not the people, but the gimmicks and the quality of the gimmicks. You know, the main eventers were completely lacking. But there was some good moments in the Rumble, you know, definitely. With Owen Hart and Bob Backlund being attacked by Brett because they both interfered in his match with Diesel.
And that was a nice setup. I do like that too. Yes.
Yeah. And of course the whole ending there with Sean and the Bulldog.
Okay. So looking this up on Reddit, the T and the K, according to this one Reddit user, stood for Themis Claridis. That can't be a real name, which was his girlfriend at the time. So she was a fitness trainer and attorney who was one of the Raw Ring Girls at the time. She was featured in WWE Magazine a couple of times. And Sean gives her credit in his book for helping him get in shape for the Iron Man match at WrestleMania 12. So, somebody confirm at Wrestling Guys PC.
Well, Sean was a stud.
I mean, he was the wrestler of the 90s, all right? I do like the setup here for the WrestleMania 11 matches. The fact that Shawn Michaels won, it made the most sense for Michaels to go over. Diesel was the champion at the time. They had, you know, he came back as, you know, his Shawn Michaels bodyguard. He went on to bigger and better things. So that just, you know, wraps the story up. It's like a big nutshell. And they would actually go on to have a great match at WrestleMania 11. Probably the best match at WrestleMania 11. Because you want to talk about another bad pay-per-view. WrestleMania 11 is the pits.
WrestleMania is one of the worst. And maybe once WrestleMania starts rolling around, we'll revisit some past ones. But that match between Shawn and Diesel was a great match at that WrestleMania. Diesel actually won.
Right. And again, you know, the fact that it's all about the dance partner, right? I mean, Diesel worked great with guys that could, you know, bump and feed for him and move around the ring and fly around. Michaels, Bret Hart, those guys. When you did stuff like Mabel and Diesel, it just did not work because it was just two brutes, very slow moving, plotting. Yeah, just they were not good, yeah. Right? Whereas, you know, guys like Shawn Michaels and Bret Hart, famously, because I think of those two right off the bat, they just were able to give him the best matches of his career. You know,
I would love to do maybe in the future do like a profile of the trilogy of matches that Bret and Diesel had because they had just great matches.
Underrated matches of those years because you know what it is? 95 in itself is overshadowed by how bad the year of wrestling is. And we're talking about like quality in terms of pay-per-views and stuff. But you're talking the Royal Rumble match at 95. And then you're talking Survivor Series later that year.
95,
right?
Yeah.
And then
In Your House in January 96 in the Steel Cage.
Right. I mean,
but also King of the Ring 94.
Yes.
Yeah.
Very underrated. A very underrated match. Good match. And then when I remember it being most memorable for one, Bret Hart debuted new music and Jim the Anvil Neidhart came back with him, which I thought was incredible. I remember he came out and I got so hyped because Diesel had Shawn Michaels in his corner and he's like, I got somebody for you. And when he came out with the Anvil, I was like, oh shit, this is awesome because I love the Hart Foundation. But yeah, you know, those matches are super underrated because they were very good. And but you know, but the problem is that they're buried in these bad pay-per-views.
Yeah.
But I think that's actually a great idea that we could maybe revisit down the line. I think we should definitely visit that at some point. Yeah, guys, tell us what you think. Royal Rumble 1995. Do you hate it as much as we do? Should Lex Luger change his nickname to Half-Ass Luger? Why were there so many tag teams in this goddamn thing? I think I might have to go and revisit a few podcasts and find out from Pritchard why there was so many of those wrestlers in there. And the fact that Razor Ramon and IRS and Tatanka and Bam Bam Bigelow, like guys that maybe could have brought a little more legitimacy to the Rumble, were just left out just because they had undercard matches. I mean, well, it would have been great that the fact that Bam Bam Bigelow, you know, did that face off with LT and had Bigelow enter the Rumble later that night, why not have LT cause him to get eliminated? And that would have made it even further, you know? I mean, again, hindsight being 2020, what the hell do we know, right? We weren't booking at the time. But, you know, I got to say, it's cool to see these stuff, man. It does bring me back, like you said, you know, childhood, looking at these things and bringing it back. But we are going to fast forward in time because we'll tell you what the next show is. So we covered just now Royal Rumble 95. This is the first time somebody entered number one and won the Rumble. And the next one we're doing is, we're fast forwarding all the way to 2000, Royal Rumble 2007, where the first person to enter number 30 wins the Rumble. And who is that? The Phenom, The Undertaker, which was pretty incredible. Another notch on, how funny is it? Another notch on the belt, right? Shawn Michaels and Undertaker back to back. They're recovering. The first number one, the first number 30, they would have a great ending to this particular match, if you remember. And then the following year, they would enter as number one and number two. Which was great.
And finally, after all those years from 88 to 2007, that coveted final spot that never actually won, finally won in 07.
And how funny is it that now, over the years, now we're in 2021, and three people have entered number 30 and won. So it went from like, yeah, whoever comes in at number 30 and winning, they never do. Screw that shit. And then when he finally did, it was like, awesome. The stigma was off. It is possible. And then since then, two other people have won. John Cena would actually win it the next year coming in at number 30. Yeah, and then Triple H would win it a few years later.
Yeah.
Which was crazy. They went from never having it to back-to-back years. So that'd be good to revisit. And we're going to revisit that next week in terms of you know, first number one, first number 30th. I'm really excited for that, man. I think we're going to it's something to look at. It's another one. And you're talking about 14 years ago.
Correct? Yeah, I mean, how time flies.
95 is just as far away. I mean, and I'm thinking about, like I said, sitting in the living room with my dad and just looking at this. And now we're like, holy crap, man, look how far away this is. And some of these people who have passed on, some too soon. It's great to do this stuff, and we hope that you enjoyed it. We hope that you are looking us up at Wrestling Guys PC on Twitter, right? At the Fans Perspective Podcast on Twitter as well.
At FPP Show on Twitter. And yeah, definitely check out the Fans Perspective, where we talk about movies and TV shows and everything going on in the entertainment world.
How you doing? Good stuff. We got multiple avenues, multiple things coming at you. You know, iTunes, Spotify, anywhere you can find this podcast is there. 5-star review, drop it in there. Make us a little prevalent. No search materials. Tell your friends about this thing. Let's have a discussion. Come at us. Let's have discussion. Let's have spirited debates, not some bullshit. No Mark shit. Come at us. You know, I love having talks. We love having discussions. And this is what it's all about, man. Let's unplug from this world for, you know, this world has been enough for the year, and hopefully 2021 is better. Let's unplug. Let's watch some Rumble matches. Let's get a few drinks. Let's freaking celebrate right now.
Hear those predictions for the 2021 Rumble.
So real quick before we sign off here, what are you thinking? Has your pick changed from the last episode? I know we did early predictions, and you had said Big E.
I think I said Big E. Right. Well, now that he's the Intercontinental Champion, I probably would change my pick. But who it would be, I don't know. And this is what I like about the Royal Rumble. Like, I feel like the last few years, it's been hard to pick who's going to win. Even last year, I didn't predict Drew McIntyre winning.
Oh, I had him. I had him all the way from the beginning. But I, at the same time, though, I didn't know if he was going to win. I thought Lesnar might have just went all the way through, you know?
Yeah, I kind of thought he would too, and, I'm glad that, Drew did get the victory. I think this year is probably one of the hardest, not the hardest ever to call, and we're still a few weeks away, and there's a bunch of things that they could do. I don't know. I really don't know. I could see maybe Daniel Bryan. Maybe.
Yeah, I could see that as well, too. I think he's really come on as a player in the last couple of weeks. And speaking of Daniel Bryan, him and Shinsuke had a pretty good match in that gauntlet match this past Friday on SmackDown. I wish they would have went a little bit longer. And Shinsuke looks like he's poised for another face.
Which I'm very excited about.
Yeah, me too. I think maybe we can get some more quality matches out of him. Let's stop dropping him in tag teams and let's see him kick some ass. Daniel Bryan is an early favorite. I still am going to say Keith Lee for the time being. I think I do like what he's doing. I thought him and McIntyre had a hell of a match in that Legends night. As far as the women, Bianca Belair is still an early favorite, but the way I saw New Year's Evil play out, man, don't be surprised if Rhea Ripley drops in there and wins this damn thing too. It looks like she's poised for a main roster visit also.
It's about time. Rhea Ripley's awesome. I really like her. I mean, even the women's one is a little hard to call, especially considering who the champs are. However, I'll say this. Considering what happened on Raw, maybe Lacey Evans gets the win.
I mean, you know what? Listen, I'm not a fan, but I see that. The Ric Flair pairing is, first of all, it was odd. It threw me off, but you know what? Cool. You know, put some steam behind her and somebody different. I mean, I know she had her little run, feuding with Becky Lynch and stuff like that. But you know what? Some new blood and why not? I love it. But she has something behind her. She has a good character. I think she's better served as a heel than she was with that little face run she had this past year. And the fact that she's with Flair does something. And it seems like Flair is actually back as a full time performer for the time being. So
yeah, it looks like
good for him, man. Make that money.
I got two things before I know we're trying to wrap this up here, but two things real quick. Because every year, one of the best highlights about the Rumble is surprise entrance. So, first one, does Becky Lynch make her return this year at the Rumble?
I don't think so.
No, right? Doesn't seem likely. I know she just gave birth to her child.
Yeah. And listen, rightfully so. She, you know, take all the time that you need. I mean, maybe she wants to make a point, go out there anyway, but no, I don't think so.
And the second one for the men's side is, and we're seeing some reports, I know they're just rumors at this point, but does Jay White make his debut in WWE and appear in the Rumble?
I don't think so for Jay White. I know there is some rumors about him not resigning with New Japan, and he had liked a tweet from Finn Balor that said who's next. So I think if Jay White does come in, he's going straight to NXT first. NXT. I don't think he's doing a main roster run if he resigns, because I know that he's advertised from some New Japan shows in March. So, you know, who the hell knows about that? I'd like to see him there. I didn't get a chance. Did you get a chance to watch Wrestle Kingdom at all?
No, I did not.
That's something I end up, you know, it being two nights now, that's something I end up catching, you know, throughout the week. I watch a match here, there, stuff like that. I will say, though, in terms of now that we're on the subject of NXT, I do see Damian Priest possibly entering the Royal Rumble and coming in.
Totally fine with that.
I'm a big fan of Damian Priest. He reminds me of a Scott Hall. I mean, even this, I know he's a big fan of him as well. But guys like that, Rhea Ripley, possibly a Johnny Gargano. You know, with the way they're setting up, but I think Priest is going to lead to a main roster run. I think he's for sure getting called up, and along with Rhea Ripley.
Well, how about Adam Cole popping in and maybe even winning? And the Undisputed Era coming.
I'll tell you this, it's long overdue for the Undisputed Era. You have four quality guys, and I know Bobby Fish is out right now with the triceps, so maybe they want to wait. But they're right now, and this is in no way, because I love Undisputed Era. I do. They're my favorite faction going right now. I love Adam Cole, but they're spinning their wheels in NXT right now, man. I think the War Games match was probably been the best way to send them off. I mean, it seems like it's weird because it seems like Kyle O'Reilly's taking the reins as the main singles guy right now. I do like what they're doing. Like, one guy is shining, kind of similar to the New Day, while the other two, they're going to be in the Dusty Rhodes Tag Team Classic, which is cool. I hope it doesn't lead to them splitting up before they make it to the main roster, because I think they can have a legitimate run as a heel team and as a face team on the main roster right now. I mean, I would love to see Adam Cole, at least Adam Cole, come up and then maybe bring them up after the fact. That would have been that'd be great. And I mean, in the meantime, you know, you have a roster full of people that are not being used at times. Put them in there, man. Like, you know, like, put them to work. Let's see some more of these guys. You know, I would like to see the guys that are Hurt Business. You know, Bobby Lashley. I'm not a fan of Bobby Lashley at all, but I do like him with the Hurt Business with MVP. This U.S. title run is actually making him like a legit monster. He's like a legit threat. Whereas before, I'm like, yeah, screw him.
Maybe he goes over.
Hey, listen, you know, anything is possible. I think for sure it's a possibility that you know, I think at this point, I think you're right. It's very, very wide open. We'll see. Like we said, we still have multiple weeks to go. We'll see how it plays out in the meantime. We do have our picks, but, you know, that could be nothing. You know, I remember I thought for sure one year that Finn Balor was going to come back as number 30 in the Rumble and ended up being Rey Mysterio. I was like, who the hell is this? And you're like, I remember the crowd booing Rey Mysterio, too. It felt terrible for him.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think we're going to be short on surprises outside of NXT call-ups, and I think it's going to be – right now it's a toss-up, dude. I mean, and like I said, Raw and SmackDown, we'll see. I do like the call with Daniel Bryan, though. I could see that as well, too. But, yeah, let us know. What do you guys think? Early picks for the Rumble at Wrestling Guys PC. Want to hear it? Maybe we could do a little Royal Rumble pool going into the match. Thank you to the family, to the friends, everybody who's listening, downloading, subscribing. You know where to find us. All right. Anywhere you can find your wrestling podcast. Again, 5-star reviews. You let us know. Hope you enjoy Royal Rumble 1995. Next week, coming at you, Royal Rumble 2007. And with that being said, this has been the Wrestling Guys Podcast. We came to talk about wrestling, drink some beers. We're just about a whole lot of beers. Get the virtual quintessential deal. Stay safe. Wash your damn hands. Wear a mask. We love you. Take care.